What is the larger trend that you're seeing across NRIs investing in India?
When you're managing your liquid wealth, you don't spend a sleepless night thinking, is my mutual fund safe or not?
How do you identify fraudulent property deals? Are there some red flags?
No, it always depends on the intent. Where there is chaos, there's opportunity. Being aware of the nature of properties that you can invest into and you can't.
I don't know about that, but okay.
We love our apartments and we love our gold.
What are the most common roadblocks you'd say that they come across?
The best way to avoid that is to not get into it.
Everyone, and welcome to this episode of Navigate with HSBC. Now, with lucrative interest rates, government reforms like the RERA, and of course, India's great economic potential, NRIs are increasingly looking to invest in the real estate market back in India. But when you're trying to make that investment from so far without any expert guidance, the task may seem a bit daunting. Now, whether you're trying to invest in your family property, just hold on to it, make new investments, or just keep a track of where things are, we're here to make things much simpler for you as an NRI. And to do that, we have with us a special guest from India Assets, which is a company that manages everything to do with real estate, handling it for their NRI clients end to end. So let me welcome on that note Deepak Nargun, the CFO of India Assets. Deepak, thank you very much for being with us here today. You know, it's an interesting subject. Before we get into what really NRIs want and what are the challenges and how you help them, what got you to start the company and what are the unique challenges that NRIs face that you're looking to solve with your company here?
Sure. Thank you so much and a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me here. India Assets, we started a decade back. And if you look at an individual's wealth, 60% typically is in real estate and 40% is in liquid financial assets. And if you look at the wealth management aspect of it, the financial wealth, the liquid wealth has been addressed by numerous banks, wealth management companies, and it's very evolved. So when we started a decade back, this is exactly the problem we set out to solve. Where there is chaos, there is opportunity. And so we said that because the founders came with banking experience, they knew lending and they knew the real estate wealth advisory needed a lot of professionalism to be injected. That's what led to the founding of India Assets. And so we had a great journey since then.
All right. Then why don't you start by telling us why you think, despite all the ups and downs that the market has seen in all these years, India remains an attractive destination for the real estate market, specifically when we talk about NRIs?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of systemic changes in the Indian regulatory framework, in the overall infrastructure. So you look at regulatory, demonetization, GST, introduction of GST, the RERA, introduction of RERA. So all of these have helped clean up the market to a large extent. A lot of the bad players have got weeded out. And so the confidence of the investors now to get into real estate investing and at least to a certain degree ensure that the money isn't lost is now higher. Next, look at infrastructure. The infrastructure has been growing tremendously, right? The government has been consistently promoting infrastructure, the highways being built all across. When there's connectivity, then obviously there's a lot of things that go back to the tier 2 cities and tier 3 cities. So the real estate expansion then becomes more widespread. And then there's always the love for country. People always want to have a landing pad back home. So these factors led to the NRI interest in real estate being sustained.
Well, we know all too well the love for Indians and tangible wealth assets that they'd love to have. You know, you spoke about the need for infrastructure, the connectivity, all of that, which makes real estate more sort of attractive to people. But are there specific pockets in the country, specific markets where NRIs are specifically looking to put their money in? Or is it more driven by, like you said, their emotional state of being, their hometown, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, so I would look at NRI investment or any investment in real estate in two pieces. One is for the actual consumption, which is your self-use, and the other is the investment, right? If you look at investment, if self-use, you'd buy a home where you are and where you want to live, right? But if you look at an investment perspective, that's going to be driven by market economics. What we've seen is between Bangalore, Bombay, and Delhi NCR region, that covers almost 63% of the real estate investments in the country. And because these cities have been expanding, there's a lot of investments, a lot of companies which are coming in here, a lot of migration into these cities. The return on investment of an NRI's property in these places is increasing. So these, of course, remain the top choice of cities.
Okay.
Then you have Hyderabad, which took a sort of a downturn last year, but we see it recovering now again.
All right.
Then the second use case that we've seen is a lot of holiday homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who has an investment in one of these big cities, the second property they want is always in Jaipur, Goa, because it's a tourist destination. So ROI considerations always drive decision towards other cities.
Okay.
Self-consumption is, you know, wherever they want to stay in.
Interesting. I mean, so someone living in Bombay, for instance, would want to invest in what, Alibaug or something of that
absolutely,
sort.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, but, you know, what is the larger trend, though? Are people looking to largely invest in these holiday homes? Are they looking at commercial properties? Are they looking at luxury pieces? Are they looking at only rental income? You know, what is the larger trend that you're seeing across NRIs investing in India?
Yeah, so when NRIs come to us for advice, we always try and understand what is the purpose of their investment. And what we've seen is for self-consumption, the NRI investment into luxury properties has gone up tremendously.
Okay.
Particularly post the pandemic. People want larger homes because they're always working from home, seldom go to office, so they want larger spaces.
Yeah.
So three and four BHK homes have seen a spike in sales after the pandemic.
Yeah.
The average NRI ticket size of purchase is now in the range of 1 to 4 crores. It was sub 1 crore before the pandemic. So there's been an increasing amount of investment that NRIs are making from a self-use perspective. When you look at investment purposes, typically it's commercial real estate because there the ROIs are good. Typically, commercial real estate, you would draw an ROI of 7 to 8%, and then there's an escalation in the asset value itself. Residential real estate from a investment perspective doesn't make really too much sense. But we do see people interested in that as well, because as Indians, like you said, you know, we love our apartments and we love our gold. So that's where the investments are driving.
Yes,
driven.
Very much. But, you know, let's say for an NRI that is looking to invest in the property market in India, would you tell us about some of the common mistakes they tend to make and that they should avoid?
Absolutely. Despite all the regulatory changes that I mentioned earlier, real estate investment is still a complex process.
Very much.
Right? Right from undertaking the due diligence, understanding the property, understanding the legal titles, the location. So all of that becomes very critical. So the common mistakes that we see people doing are, one, jumping into it without due consideration of where do I want to invest? What is the product I want to invest? What is the purpose? So that's first. So that's one. Second is not relying on professional advice. Typically, I have a cousin. I'll ask him to go look at apartments. When he finds the time, he'll do it. He may not. So you rely on a lot of personal relations and not on professional advice. Third, the NRI investment is regulated to a large extent by FEMA, by the RBI, and not paying due consideration to these. For example, NRIs cannot own farmhouses, they can't own agricultural land.
Okay.
So ensuring that you're paying due attention to these regulatory framework and ensuring you're within the stipulations is something that we always encourage people to do. And finally, in real estate, location is everything. Right, so which is where our advisory comes into picture, because if you're looking to rent it out from a residential real estate, you want to ensure that you don't buy a 5 BHK home, because you'll find fewer takers for a large home as compared
to liquidate it.
Tougher to liquidate it as well.
Yeah.
You would look for, you know, proximity to schools, hospitals, metros. And so not paying attention to these processes before jumping into it is the common mistake that we've seen NRIs make.
Okay, so it's not really a do-it-yourself, DIY kind of a decision that you must take. Consult experts.
Absolutely.
And pay for attention. Just give us a broader sense, if you zoom out, on how the demand for property management services itself, has it changed over the years? Has it increased now? And the range of services that a company like India Assets is able to offer NRIs.
Sure. So with everything, I think the quality of services that people expect has increased over time. With the advent of technology, everything is at the tip of the fingertip. So you want everything on an app. And the same goes with real estate property management services as well. Now, that's a little bit more complex piece to solve, because it's not like ordering dal, chawal, right, where you get delivered in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But what we've seen is people are demanding professional advice. People are willing to pay for professional advice because they realize the value of time. People now value time more than, you know, some percentage fees up and down.
Okay.
And having said that, what India Assets does for the clients is, you know, we start from the very basics. We start from advisory, which is we understand the client, we understand where are they currently invested in, what is the short-term, long-term horizon in terms of the real estate wealth management. And then we start figuring out from their requirements perspective, then we start, you know, drilling down into, is it commercial, is it residential, which areas, and then help them with the entire due diligence and ensure that they have a good experience. When you're managing your liquid wealth, you don't spend a sleepless night thinking, is my mutual fund safe or not? Because, you know, it's regulated. There are tons of people looking at it. With real estate, that's not the case. Most of the times, you know, you're wondering, is somebody encroaching on my land? Is the due
diligence
okay?
Especially when you're so far away.
When you're far away, absolutely. Is the due diligence okay? Is there somebody who's going to put a case on my property? Because they don't see me around for 6 months. They think it's easy target. So we take away all that pain for the NRIs. And that's something that has found a lot of resonance with them. They're really willing to, you know, come to India Assets because they want their good night's sleep.
So let's say I'm an NRI who's bought a property through India Assets. Are you going to ensure my rent is taken up on time? Are you going to ensure that nobody's, you know, constructing on my land? You know, what exactly are you going to do? You make it seem like you have feet on the street that are watching the property at all times.
We do. So, depending on the requirement of the client, for example, if you've rented out a property and not getting it paid on time for a couple of months, then obviously the client reaches out through the relationship manager to India Assets. We go take a visit, try and understand what's happening. Just nudge
so
the client.
It's very hands on ground, feet on street, that kind of approach.
Yes. So from a client perspective, it's all on the app. But from an execution perspective,
you
it's all feet
everything.
On the street. Yeah.
Okay. That's quite interesting. You know, when NRIs are starting to invest or looking to invest, what are the most common roadblocks you'd say that they come across?
Yeah, so in terms of the roadblocks, what they come across, largely starting from the regulatory pieces in terms of what asset classes can they invest into and what they can't, starting with that. And then trying to figure out the right location for a particular property. Because you're far away, you're going to rely on some sort of an advice, either from friend, family, or a Google search. So getting those pieces right is sort of a roadblock. Repatriation of money into India, taking it back.
Oh, that's a huge piece.
Piece. The tax implications, be it short-term capital gains, long-term capital gains, rental income. Those are pieces that people sometimes falter with. And if they make a mistake, then the funds get stuck for a long period of time because repatriation is always a complex process. So these are typically the common roadblocks that we see clients encountering. And then, of course, the biggest one is the title to the property clean. Is there going to be encroachment? Are there multiple claimants to it? So those are pieces that are typical roadblocks.
You know, you earlier said sometimes you rely on your cousins to find you that property and collect the rent, right? But then there are also more professional services. You have, the traditional real estate managers. And then you have, platforms like India Assets. Tell us how you stand out from the rest of the crowd, what you're offering that the others are not, and what really makes you unique?
Yeah, so when we started out offering professional real estate wealth management 10 years ago, we were sort of one of the very few in the country doing that. And as time has passed, technology has emerged, has now taken over a lot of things. So we have also kept pace. In the last 3-5 years, we've invested tremendously in technology. We have an application that customers use. So how do we stand out from the traditional service providers is, one, from a client-facing perspective, it's all seamless transactions through the app. They don't need to call a PRM and because there's a time difference, right? So they don't have to worry about that. There is a request on the app. The PRM reaches out, takes care of the things, reaches out back to them once the work is done. We provide proof of performance and it's done. So you don't have to rely on multiple sources. We are sort of a one-stop shop, right from legal due diligence to property purchase to maintenance to ongoing maintenance, tax, paying taxes, all the legal requirements. Everything is sort of a one-stop shop for everything. If you went to a traditional real estate guy, then you'd probably end up having to transact with one for your purchase, then you have to figure out a lawyer, you have to figure out a guy who will manage your property management services. So it's sort of scattered. It's multiple touch points which get converged when they come to India Assets.
So it's all under one roof with India Assets. Okay, we spoke about property management and rental income management earlier, but give us a little more detail. Let's say, for example, when NRI has already brought a property in India, you're going to manage it for them, you're going to manage the rental yield. What is the process just like, you know, how do you ensure they get a good night's sleep without worrying about any encroachment and so on and so forth?
Sure. So typically it starts with understanding the requirement. And once they're clear that they want to get into either commercial or residential from an investment perspective, then we undertake a micro market survey in terms of the area in which they're looking to get into, right? So that survey will tell us what is the average rental in that area, what is the growth that the area has seen in terms of rental, the quality of the tenants in that area. And that it starts from there. Then we sort of narrow down the requirements from the client's perspective. We present them various options. We narrow down the requirements once they've looked at all of this. And then once they come to a particular product, then we look at the legal due diligences, ensure that the titles are clear. They have all the paperwork in place. The taxes are paid. Encumbrance certificates are all done. Any government licensing to be done, we undertake it on their behalf. Once all of those are done, then we help them with the final piece, which is agreement execution. After that, there's going to be the payment. Right. Yeah. So we also help them. We work with partners like HSBC. So they have access to housing loans or property loans. And those are pieces that they can dip into.
Okay.
And then, of course, on the ongoing maintenance piece, once the property has been leased out, if there's a leaking tap or a client requiring painting in a particular place, we get all of that done. So there's nothing under the sun from a real estate perspective that we don't do for clients because we want them to sleep well.
Well, you know, that was going to be my next question, but you already clarified that you do everything from repair, painting, leakage to, you know, whatever there is to be done, even after leasing is done. But, you know, before we close this part of the conversation, what are some of the legal and regulatory aspects of buying property in India that NRIs must keep in mind? You spoke about some of the changing rules and how you should take help of professionals to stay up to date as to where you can and cannot invest. But broadly, are there some guidelines they should keep in mind?
Yes. So some of them have been around for a while, the regulations. And some of them are, of course, emerging every year. So it's always best to consult your advisor before you make a decision. But broadly, being aware of the nature of properties that you can invest into and you can't is one. The second is from a FEMA compliance, how do you put money into the country, the NRO account, the NRE account, because there are restrictions around the repatriation of the funds once the sale has been made. There are restrictions in terms of the number of properties on which the fund can be repatriated. So being aware of some of those, paying your taxes properly on an annual basis so that you have all your records clean. So all of those are pieces from a regulatory angle that are very critical. And a lot of people are aware, but they rely on internet search, which is not always helpful. So relying on professional advice, because we've been there, done that. We have an ecosystem. We understand the market deeply. And that's what we rely on from our advisory perspective. And we have a wide range of advisors as well. So if something becomes very complex, then we have our own set of advisors that we work with. But from your perspective, from a client's perspective, we are sort of the go-to guys.
Deepak, you know how they always say high returns come with high risk. But, you know, as an advisor, India Assets, how do you balance, you know, the risk on one hand and the profitability on the other? What do you do when you're advising your clients to make sure that, you know, the risk is well covered for?
So that's a common refrain that we get, right? People expect high risk for getting high returns. What we try to do is get the high returns but try and minimize the risks where we can. And that all comes from due diligence, right, which is where our expertise lies. So when a client reaches out to India Assets, we first undertake an advisory call. We understand what the requirements are. Are they looking for self-use? Are they looking for investment purposes? Were they expecting a return on investment? If it's self-use, obviously the advice is going to be very different based on their lifestyle, the location, and future plans. So that takes one shape. If it's for investment purposes, then we start looking at giving them options, saying that commercial gives you X and residential probably gives you X minus something. And that's always the case because rental yields are quite low in some of the top cities because the cost of acquisition of the properties is high from a residential angle. So we go down that path. Once they've made a decision, then we start looking at options. For example, we got a live case now that's happening. We got a client who's looking to buy, invest a certain amount of money in the country, and he's not sure whether he wants residential or commercial. So we are evaluating both options. We present options, we undertake the due diligence, we give our recommendation, of course, saying that if there's your first investment and you go into ABC cities, if the second investment, you probably want to diversify your risk, go to the some other city, maybe look at a holiday home or those kind of options. But we undertake those due diligences. We work with the client, understand the requirement, present options. Once they have shortlisted a couple of options, then we go down the whole nine yards in terms of legal due diligence. diligence, that's always top priority. We want to ensure that the property is not disputed, there's no legal issues that will crop up later. Once we've done that, then we go back to the client, give him those options. A lot of times, you know, we don't want them spending their holidays in India trying to figure out, do I maintain my property, do I want to buy a new property?
Yeah.
We want them to enjoy their vacation.
Yeah.
So we undertake the property visits for them, do live video calls, show them the properties. We take it to a point where they're almost ready to execute, and all they need to do is come down to India, sign. A lot of times even that is not required if they issue a power of attorney to a trusted person here.
Okay.
So that's how the property piece goes. There are clients who look for loans to buy those properties. Then we work with our banking partners like HSBC, where we enable mortgages, loan against properties. So there are a lot of options that they can evaluate. It sort of becomes, you know, we're trying to contain the risks, because risk comes from what? From not knowing what you're doing, right? And here we're trying to do cover exactly that, because we are giving them advice based on our ground experience in terms of which markets are doing well, which is probably a good market to bet on if you're looking at a return on investment over 5-year horizon, giving those options, legal due diligence, all of that. So that's how we maximize returns, but try and, you know, we can't take away risk, but you try and contain it and minimize it as much as you can.
You know, I'm curious, a lot of people listening to this might also have the same question as an NRI. Is there a certain base limit for investment for someone to approach India Assets, for instance? And what would the cost of availing services from you look like?
So, the cost for availing services, I'll just cover that first, and then we'll go to the base level in terms of property value. The cost of availing services is a very transparent pricing process that we have. When they sign up on the app, they get visibility of all the charges. When they come through HSBC being one of our premier partners, there's a differential benefit that they get. So the price is obviously a lot more attractive when they come through HSBC. In terms of the base level pricing, typically we look at about a crore of properties is what they should be looking to invest in.
Amount.
Yeah, because otherwise the cost of transacting for them and the cost of servicing would not make sense.
Okay. So a crore is the basic minimum that you're looking at for investment.
And if you look at any of the cities that they typically want to come into, that sort of, you know, it gets easily taken care of, right?
Okay. You know, on one hand, you have people that are looking to buy homes for the first time, but then there are others that are looking for investments. What are your top recommendations when clients come to you to diversify an already existing real estate portfolio they may have?
So what we do for clients is we also undertake a review of their existing portfolios, right? Because sometimes they're overexposed to certain segments and probably underinvested in others. Sometimes they're also looking, the other option we also have, which has come up recently, is they can invest in real estate through a financial product. We've set up India
REITs?
Assets. It's not a REIT, it's an AIF, an alternative investment fund.
Okay.
So India Assets has co-sponsored creation of a SEBI category 2 AIF. So that's a financial product that they can come into. But if a lot of people have, you know, very picky about being invested in physical real estate. So when it comes to physical real estate, then we look at the places that are already invested in, commercial versus residential, how the existing properties have done, do they need to exit any of those and probably reinvest the capital into other areas? Because being stuck with a dead asset doesn't mean anything from a portfolio returns angle. Hope is not a good strategy to bet on when you look at investment and return on investments in the long term. So we undertake that advice. Then the next level of diversification is around, if somebody has a plot, then that's another option that they can look at. Of course, the restrictions from an NRI angle, they can't buy agricultural land or farmhouses.
Yeah.
But outside of that, a plot is probably a good investment to look at, because then the value of the plot and getting into joint development agreement with developers, all stuff that we can facilitate for them, means incremental and really good returns that they can look at. So that's how we balance the portfolio. In the end, ensuring that the portfolio makes sense basis their financial targets and real estate wealth management targets over a period of time.
Okay. I know you've somewhat covered this during the course of our conversation, but are there some examples you could tell us in terms of the common pitfalls that NRIs that are looking to invest in India often come across, and how you help them overcome it?
Typically, the pitfalls, the whole transaction process is so complex, right from making a decision in terms of which property to get into, what what timing do you get into? Because in real estate, timing and location is everything, right? You get into a boom cycle and then you're stuck with it and you don't get any returns for a fairly long period of time. So the pitfalls is typically making the right choice or not making the right choice, not working with professionals, because when you come to an India Assets kind of a company, we help you with property identification, we help you with the legal piece, we help you with the loan, all of that. You go out into the market, you probably have to deal with 5 different service providers, so this becomes easy. The second regulatory piece is a very big one, because there are restrictions in terms of fund repatriation, there are tax implications of buying properties, selling properties. For example, there was a client that we met with recently where he had sold a property and he was stuck with the money in India for 4 years because he got bad advice. He just couldn't figure out how to get the right documentation done and get the money repatriated back. And that was sort of eye-opening, because typically when we advise clients, it's a max 2 to 4 months kind of a process. Here he was stuck for 4 years. What that also led us to do was we are all now looking to set up an international wing. So we are setting up India Assets International, where we want to specifically address the NR clients who are residing outside India but have properties in India. So while they come through the HSBC channel, HSBC has clients there as well, so that becomes a more seamless relationship building between the two companies. So that's something that we are looking to do. From a pitfall angle, largely it is going to be around the regulatory piece, the tax piece, the legal due diligence on the properties. You know, property cases in India can go on for generations, right? The best way to avoid that is to not get into it.
You know, there's ownership title disputes, there's property disputes, there's all sorts of cases that do come up. Are you able to help them there as well, or do they have to come down to India, be present in courts? How do you help them out?
I would look at it in two segments. If it's a new client, then when they're looking to buy the property, then there's a lot of due diligence that happens. And that goes right down to the property level, looking at all the encumbrances, ensuring that the titles are clean, there are no disputes and all of it, right? So a new client would more than likely not get into a situation like that. But if a client with an existing property and which has got into dispute comes to India Assets, then we do have the ability to try and figure out resolutions for that. We have in-house lawyers. We also have a large panel of lawyers that we've empaneled outside. Depending on the complexity of the case, you know, we have the ability to reach out to them and unlock the value that that's got stuck for such a long period of time. So that's something that we definitely do. I think that's something that a lot of clients also, find a lot of resonance with, because the last thing they want to do is keep coming back to India to attend court hearings, right? Tickets are expensive these days.
they surely are. You know, you spoke about in one of the pitfalls how this client of yours took 4 years to try to get the money out of India into his account. Once you helped him, it took less than 4 months. But tell us what you do in terms of tax implications. What should one know when buying or renting a property in India? Currently, what do the rules say?
The typical tax implications are at the time of buying. Then, you know, the withholding tax provision is something that they have to be aware of. When they're selling property, then there's going to be long-term capital gains or short-term, depending on the period of holding. So the implications of those. How was the money transferred into the country? Was it through the NRE route or was it through the NRO route? Because that has implications in terms of the repatriation of the funds back. How many properties have they invested in? Because they're from a residential real estate perspective, there's a limit. You can only repatriate funds for 2 properties. In commercial, there's no limit, right? So, you know, what is the nature of property? How did the funds come in? So all of those are pieces that they have to seek good advice from their trusted advisors. India Assets, of course, can be one of them. Being aware of all of these pieces is something that that will help them avoid issues at a later point of time. This is on the capital gains. Now we look at regular returns. Again, they'll have to file returns in India because there's income getting generated in India. So they need to have those arrangements done to ensure that they have advisors who can help them file the returns. Then there are withholding provisions on the rentals as well. So they have to be aware of that. So those are the pieces that typically it's around annual taxes, capital gains.
And now and then you have big changes coming in like we saw last year.
We did, yeah. That was a surprise, but it is what it is. That's our stand always. But
that is the removal of indexation benefits.
So the indexation was removed for NRIs and the long-term capital gain was moved to 12.5%. Of course, we saw that in a lot of cases, particularly if the property is bought at a later point of time or in the last 5 to 10 years, then it doesn't make too much of a difference. It's beneficial for them. But that's going to change every year and they just have to be aware of it.
Okay.
Rely on your advisors because we are here to do that work for you.
Yeah.
And we'll ensure that you have a smooth journey in your real estate management.
Well, while you're there to, sort of advise NRIs that are looking to invest in India, for the curious minds out there, how do you identify fraudulent property deals? Are there some red flags right away that you should be aware of? Any top tips you'd like to give?
When there is intended fraud, it's always difficult to catch, right? If it's a mistake, then, I'm a chartered accountant and I know how audit works, right? So it always depends on the intent. So our process is once we've identified a property, then the due diligence takes primary place. We go the whole 9 yards, ensure that it's absolutely clean. And at any point of time, if we do realize or if we get even a hint that something is not right, then we don't take those properties to our clients because we don't want them to get stuck in unnecessary activities.
Yeah.
When real estate is such a big portion of your portfolio, you have to enjoy having real estate. It shouldn't become a burden, and you're always wondering why did I get into it. So that's our stand. What we do is we always ensure that the due diligences are done well. Sort of red flag that is even remotely identified, we don't get into those properties at all. We don't recommend those to our clients. Now, if somebody comes with transaction that's already occurred, then obviously we'll have to figure out how to help them manage that situation. That's what we do.
All right. Before we close this chat, a final question to you on any advice you'd like to give to NRIs that are looking to invest in the property market in India for the very first time, apart, of course, from, trusting experts.
Absolutely. So when you're investing in India for the first time, be aware. Don't be in a hurry. The property market always has its ups and downs. So you're never going to miss the bus. At the same time, ensure that you do your due diligences. Be clear on what is the reason for your investment. If you're going to live there, then obviously it's a different question. But if you're looking at return, then evaluate between commercial and residential. What are the advantages of both of those? What are the pitfalls of both of those? Ensure that you're using technology well. We have a very cool app. People can navigate through it, figure out all the latest happenings from the real estate industry as well on the app. So understand the market, figure out what are your commercials, how are you going to finance the particular property, how are you going to move the money in, how are you going to take it out, how are you going to manage it? Because typically it's easy to buy a property, very difficult to maintain, right? Because then you need physical hands and feet on the ground who can take care of that for you. So ensure that you factor that into your decision making. And once you've got these pieces covered, then talk to the experts because we've been here, done that. 10 years of experience in real estate wealth management, a long-term partnership with HSBC. Those are pieces that have ingrained a lot of these pieces into the overall company itself. Hence, we are able to solve a lot of these problems for you, but we need you to be aware that these are problems that that could arise. Once you've made these decisions, then obviously it's going to be fun having real estate deriving from the growth because the Indian real estate market currently is $330 billion. Expected to touch $1 trillion by 2030. That's a 24% CAGR every year. So there's a lot of money to be made. And when there's a lot of money to be made, you obviously have to be careful. You don't want to jump the gun. But at the same time, you also don't have to worry too much because you've got people who will take care of stuff for you.
So don't have FOMO. Invest for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
And with the right sort of attitude. And always go for the experts who really know this market in India. Deepak, on that note, thank you very much for sharing all these very useful insights for any NRIs that are looking to put money in the real estate market in India. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Ritu. It was a pleasure talking to you.
All right. On that note, it's a goodbye. And thank you from all of us here at Navigate with HSBC. Do follow all the HSBC India social media handles for the latest updates. Goodbye. And thanks for watching.